Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And God is going to do something today in your heart, in your life. I guarantee you, the ground has been tilled, the seed's going to be planted, and God's going to produce much fruit in you today. That's what God is saying. Is. Are you ready? God's about to do something wonderful. So be prepared, open your hearts, open your minds to receive the engrafted Word of God that's able to save your souls, encourage you, motivate you, inspire you. He's coming soon. You know that. He's coming real soon. We got a lot to get after and be about doing. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the presence of God that's been stirred up because of music and worship. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have to get a remote control on this one, Isaiah. Praise God. I've had some interesting things happen in my life recently. And, you know, my message today is when in doubt, get the program out. Through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith. What are we looking at when we look at situations in life? What do we look at when we look at other people in life? Are we looking through the eyes of faith? Are we seeing things through God's perspective? Or are we looking at things through our own understanding? And God wants to encourage us today to look at things through His viewpoint. Look at others. Look at situations you encounter through His viewpoint. He sees the end from the beginning. You know, we don't see it all, but we're a chosen generation of people. He gave us His faith. Do you know that? We can believe for the impossible. We can believe for what you can't see yet. Amen? I mean, just think of that in and of itself. God's given you faith. You don't need to know what's around the corner in life. God does. He's just asking you to walk towards that corner and continue that journey. And He's going to take you to the promised land that He's promised you in your life. If you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. I was talking about this earlier this morning, but we okay here? And how many different things God has taken me through and taught me, and different teachings He's shown me that I go to 1 Samuel 17 as like a foundational spot to start from. We all love the story about the giant. David, historically, from what we're told, he was like 5'2 to 5'5. He wasn't a very big man. But yet he went against Goliath, approximately 9 feet, 9 inches tall. You know, I went into an arena one time where they had something back in the 70s. It was called So You Think You're Tough competition. And a bunch of us, we all worked in the woods and mills. We thought we were tough, so we went. And you had to go into a ring and fight somebody, your own weight. And I was watching a gentleman before me that got up there, and he was short, really short. And the guy that he must have been over 7 feet tall. And this guy's kind of going, you don't know who you're going to fight. And so he's standing in this corner, and his knees were doing this number, man. He was afraid. And this guy, and none of these guys really knew. I mean, it was just guys off the streets. And this giant come flying at this kid. And we're all sitting back going, wow, what's going to happen? He started yelling. He had a real deep voice. Ah! He started running at this little guy. And the little guy went out to the middle of the ring and kind of just waited for him to show up. And the next thing you know, that giant's laying on the ground. That little guy, he just kind of closed his eyes and swung as hard as he could and hit him right in his solar plexus. Boom. Game over. Everybody's cheering. Everybody loves a victory when they see the underdog win. They do. And in the world's eyes, I mean, we're the underdog. But we have been given what? Faith to overcome, to move mountains, to go through them, to go over them, whatever the case may be.
So I'm gonna give a little story here. And I'm going to start in verse 4, 1 Samuel 17. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits, or approximately 9 feet 9 inches tall. And he had a helmet of brass on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels, or 180 pounds. And he had greaves of brass on his legs, or shin splints, brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear head weighed 600 shekels, or 21 pounds. That's a heavy spear. I mean, I picked up 20 pounds the other day, and I thought, this feels a lot heavier than it used to. And so shekels of iron, one bearing, and a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and your servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be servants of ours and serve us." You know, I'm going to jump over to verse 16. And actually, I'm 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days, this circumstance, this problem kept appearing, taunting. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephod and parts of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain and their thousands, and look and see how your brethren fare, and take their pledge," or get news from them, see how they're doing. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put up the battle in array, and army against army. And David left his carriage and the hand of the keeper of his carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. This guy, I mean, from a young age had a warrior's heart and he had confidence. He knew that he was called to do great things. He knew that God was with him. And you know that too. There's great confidence when you can run towards a battle knowing that it doesn't look good, but knowing that God gave you faith to get through that battle. So the encouragement this morning is to look at things through God's viewpoint. Look at things through the eyes of faith and not our own understanding. Pastor Henry walked by this church. God said, "This is the house I'm going to give you." Okay. All right, what do I do with this? I mean, the rest is history. One man heard a word from God and did it. Now you're seeing the results of one man's obedience to what God had spoken.
And because he was obedient to what God told him to do, and still being obedient, you're here. God brought you here. Just like at the cave of Adullam, when David was out hiding for his life, God sent an army to him, the greatest army Israel ever had. These guys were a bunch of misfits. They were in debt. They were drunkards. God brought everybody to David. And David goes, what am I going to do with this? And the greatest army of Israel came out of that. God sent you and me with all of our flaws and failures. He brought us here because he knows what he put in us to become. I'm not everything I want to be yet. Are you? I'm striving for more. Like the song, I want more. I want more. I want to become everything God has created me to be. Everything. You know, I thank God for his amazing grace in my life. Where were we? I'm gonna jump down here to verse 28. Sorry, guys, if I'm messing you up there. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spoken to the man of Eliab's anger was kindled and against David. And he said, why camest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? You think he's mocking him? Yeah, I do. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for thou art come down that you might see the battle. Who do you think you are? Anybody ever tell you that? Who do you think you are? You can move mountains. Right. Like that old Bill Cosby thing. Remember? Do you remember Bill Cosby? Long time ago. God was speaking to him. And he goes, it's the Lord. He goes, yeah, right. You know, sometimes we feel that way too. You know, God is speaking to us all the time and we're not hearing. But God is preparing our hearts today for battle. So be listening. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Can I say anything? And he turned from him towards another and spoke after the same manner, said the same thing. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he is a man of war since his youth. Have you ever felt intimidated? Like you can't do this. God's asking me to do so. I can't do it. The God of the universe lives in you. Yes, you can. There's nothing you can't do if he's asked you to do it. The first thing Saul did, he said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine. That statement is loaded with unbelief. It is. And we deal with that ourselves too. When God asks us to do something, we go, I don't think so. Unbelief means to be unpersuadable. God is trying to persuade us to accomplish his perfect will. He's trying to get us to go out and accomplish the impossible, to walk by a building and say, I can do this. Okay, God, if you're saying it, I'll do it. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine, unbelief, to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he's a man of war. Right here, Saul is looking at this from a human viewpoint. He's not looking at it through the eyes of faith like David is. David's going, let me at him. Let me at him. I can do this. No problem. Saul's going, I don't think so. Man, you're but a youth, and he is a man from his youth. And we need to learn from this, that we don't look at the situations we encounter with the same kind of attitude, with the same kind of outlook. But we look at things through the eyes of faith and be like David and go, let me at him. We can do this. Let the show begin. Hallelujah. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep.
And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb of the flock. And I went out after him and smote and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. The Lord be with you. All of a sudden, Saul's thinking, well, maybe he's into something here. Okay, let's see if this is real. Go. Did anybody ever read that book, This Present Darkness? It was a book back in the, 80s, 90s, by Frank Peretti. And it was about the angelic forces that are surrounding us, that work on behalf of the church. I mean, I never read a novel, and that's the only one I've ever read. I don't like novels. I like things I can research, get facts. I mean, that's just who I am. My wife, man, she's a reader of all kinds of issues. You got to read this. And she kept pestering me. You got to read this. I go, all right, I read. Well, I got about halfway through, maybe three quarters, and I was just going, is this ever going to go somewhere? And all of a sudden, at the very end of this chapter, I don't know where it was, but this angel said, go. Like a flood, man. I could not put that book down. I mean, the battle started. I was into it. I mean, I fell asleep and my eyes were burning. I finally read it. Then there was another one right after it called Piercing the Darkness. Had to read that one. But he said, go. There's something about God giving you the word to go. God's giving you a word to go after what it is that you think is impossible, but you know in here, the heart of the Father is saying, you can do this. I created you for this moment. Whatever it is, I've created you to accomplish the impossible. I want you to be my witness in the earth of what I can do through man. Isn't it amazing that God chose to work through us? I know me. It's amazing that God will use the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God is an amazing God, and his grace is amazing also. You know, when you encounter these situations, I want to turn to Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. This is telling us and explaining to us the importance of having and using and applying covenant acknowledgement in our lives when we're dealing with situations. Jesus is the high priest of what we say. Do you know that he can only be to you what we declare him to be? I mean, you think about that. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to declare thou unto him. He wants you to remind him. God, you promise us. He wants a relationship with you where you get intimate with him. And I tell you, last night, as I was finishing up looking at some of this stuff, God just stopped me in mid-flight. I mean, I had this all mapped out. I mean, I got two or three more. I got a great outline. And God said, no, there's something I want to do. I mean, he was talking to me in such an intimate way. It was amazing. I mean, I've had God stop me and encourage me and say, okay, we're gonna do this. All right. But in the process, he was talking to me about you. He was talking to me about those that are hearing this message on the internet. Wherever you might be, you're gonna hear from God this morning.
God wants you to, this is a new year. This is the dawning of a new day for Sarita House of Worship and your life individually. God has got some amazing things that he wants to do this year through you and me, us. He wants to empower us to fulfill his purpose in the earth. We got a lot to accomplish. He's coming soon. He really is. And I come to you this morning as a minister of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. First time I ever wore a sport jacket? First time. I got up this morning, got dressed, and Carrie walked in. She goes, no. First of all, you got to take them white socks off. They don't. You got brown shoes on, man. You got a black. Come on. I go, well, yeah, I'm not too good with colors. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but thank God for a wife that's good with colors. So I changed it up a little bit. But I said, yeah, I'm going to be wearing a couple different things today as an illustration. So I come to you this morning as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a pastor of Sarita House of Worship, who stands alongside Pastor Henry and Pastor John to see what God has in plan for this place to be established. I mean, Pastor John and I are like the two holding up Moses' arms in support of what God's doing. And I want you to know that this coat is a symbol that you guys also carry too. You're all ministers of Jesus Christ in the earth. Your job is to reach that lost and dying world out there, to plant seeds in their life. Every day there is someone that God will set you up with if you ask, to speak truth into their life, to give them encouragement. And so Carrie bought me this about a year ago, and she goes, you're going to wear that one of these days. It looks good on you. I go, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, but it's a mantle. It's a coat. We all wear different hats in life. Some of you are bosses. Some of you are just employees. Some of you own businesses. We all have different places that we serve in life. And I wanted to mix things up a little bit, just as a picture illustration to you that, this represents how I came to you this morning, teaching you a simple truth about understanding the importance of looking at other people and looking at situations through the eyes of faith. God wants you to see things the way he sees them. He wants you to say things the way he says them. He wants you to agree with him in all things. You know, and before I switch out of this, there was a young man that came up to my house, and I was newly saved. And my wife, she's been with me 45 years now. She knows the old Pat. And this guy came up banging on my door. And I went right to the front door, and she's going, uh-oh. I open the door, and this guy's drunk as a skunk. He goes, you got a dog in there? It's a boxer, and I want to see him. I go, what do you want to see my dog for? It was a little boxer, a female. Her name was Jaira Louise. Just the friendliest little dog. But someone, he got drunk and thought about it. Somebody in the neighborhood had a big boxer that chased his girlfriend's child. Thought it was mine. So he's beating on my door, and I go out on the front porch and I confront him. But for the first time in my life, I saw somebody through his eyes. I realize this guy's drunk. I bet you that's not how he really is. And sure enough, I mean, well, Carrie, like say, she was used to me responding a little differently in things, so she figured it. She called a buddy of mine down the road, and he had a big boxer too. His name was Trader. We bred it with our dog. And Buster got a call from Carrie going, you better get down here. I don't know what Pascal, you better get down here. Here comes Buster, man. He's driving down the road in this big old Ford. Buster's about this tall. But he got a truck like this big. He's coming down the road, and he drives up on my lawn. He And it's like the Pillsbury Doughboy. So he couldn't move quick. But he walked to you. Hey, man, what's going on, Pat? He goes, this guy calls. And I go, no, everything's okay, man. How'd you know? Well, Carrie called. And I go, oh, man, it's okay. It really is. And but I saw him through God's viewpoint. That wasn't who he really was. Those chemicals in his body was making him respond in a way that it just wasn't. And I told him, I said, you see that guy right there? You see that dog up in his truck? That dog bigger than you. I said, you don't want to be banging on people's doors in this neighborhood because you might get hurt. I go, this really isn't worth the trouble. I'm sure if this really happened, that whoever it is, sorry, their dog got out. But you need to reconsider how you're acting because it might not be good for you. And I'm sitting there going through this transformation right in front of my own eyes. I can't believe it. I'm acting this way? That's not me. That's the Holy Ghost. And I went, thank you, God. And that was a huge breakthrough for me. I realized that there is a God. There's no way that I could have handled that situation like that without him. And you all know that too. You experience that in your life. Sometimes you just go, wow, that was God. That wasn't me. So I come to you this morning as a minister. You carry coats, you carry hats, positions at work, and so do we. So as an illustration, I'm going to remove this coat, and I'm going to put on a different one. You know, first, I come to you as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. Now, I'm coming to you as a friend. I'm coming to you as a brother in Christ. And we do this in life. You know, I watch Pastor Henry. This guy is the same everywhere he goes. I mean, it doesn't matter who he's talking to. And I watch him befriend people that have nothing. I watch him befriend people that have everything. But he's the same. Same personality. Same love. Same brother. You know, and Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I have imitated the Lord. Follow me. Do the things I do because I've learned from him. So I learn from people like that. I want to be more like that. And I know you do too. We all want to grow. And, you know, before I became a Christian, I wasn't. I was a sinner and a good one, this pastor told me. You know, so I want you to know, just because we're up here, we're the visible side of this. Before, the only difference between us and you sitting there is a call. It doesn't mean that we know more. I mean, there's so much I don't know. I don't feel worthy to do what I'm doing. I really don't. It's a responsibility that, you know, sometimes you question, like, am I really able to fulfill this? Am I able to be everything that God wants me to be? So, I came to you this morning as a minister, as a pastor. Now I'm just talking to you like a friend, you know? And you need to be like this in your own life during the day, at work, at home. Realize that there's a time and place for everything. There is a time for exhortation. There is a time for correction. There is a time for loving people. So realize just what kind of a responsibility that you have in life. You know, when we encounter these situations in life, when we encounter walls that look impenetrable, it's a big word, I got it right the first time. The walls of Jericho, when the children of Israel went into the promised land for the first time, they crossed that river.
and they landed in a place called Gilgal. And Gilgal, the word means circle. It represents eternity. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ established the Abrahamic covenant and allowed man to enter into that perfect covenant. Because it was God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that established his covenant, there is no weak link. Man, we're not a part of it. And that's good news. God did it himself. And he can do no greater because it is him that did it. Those walls of Jericho, when they finally went into the promised land, and God told them, I want you to march around that city of Jericho 7 times. Keep your mouth shut. Don't utter a word. Sometimes when we're encountering these situations in life, problems, people, whatever it might be, sometimes the best thing you can do is stay quiet until you hear from God what to do. Those walls were so big. I mean, sometimes we really have to use our imagination to understand the things that transpired throughout history. Those walls were so big that they had chariot races on top. That's a big wall. You know, when those walls supernaturally came down, the Bible says they went flat. They went level to the ground. The children of Israel walked right in. Supernatural faith moving experience that they experienced because they were obedient to what God said. So as a friend, as a brother in Christ, I want you to understand how wonderful the grace of God is. You know, love does stoop. God stooped down and picked me up off of my front room floor one night. Picked me up. Wherever you were in life when you gave your heart and life to God, I passed out on a front room floor. And I said the night before, if you're really up there like everyone says, man, I need you. You know? And I guess this is a good opportunity for you that don't really know me that well to understand. Man, I had a checkered past. The first thing that I did when I met Pastor Henry on a Wednesday night, I come hobbling in here. I was still using a cane. I was beat up. I didn't even know he was a pastor. I walked up, I go, is there anybody here that can explain to me what this church is and what it represents? He goes, well, I can. He didn't say I'm the pastor. He goes, just, yeah, I can. So he takes me in, you know, to his office. And I figured, you know, I'm just going to let this guy know me right out the bat because I was looking for a home. I was looking for restoration. I was looking for healing. And me personally, for my wife, who was very sick, I was looking for help. So for this place was a hospital to me, you know, and I know it is for a lot of you too. Any body of Christ that's operating in the love of God is a place of restoration. It's a place of healing. So I let Pastor Henry just know a lot about me real quick because I want to see, am I going to scare this guy off? It didn't. He goes, you know what? Love you. You know, I don't expect you to come to church every Wednesday, every Sunday. He goes, I want you to find the answers you're looking for. I want you to grow. The healing began. I separated myself from people for a long time just because of things that happened in life. So I'm here as a friend this morning to let you know there's nothing God will not do for you. Nothing. I mean, before I came to this church, I met a guy at Safeway, you know, produce manager. I didn't know him from Adam, but he was the only brother, Carlos, that, you know, that I had ever talked about anything that I was kind of going through as far as my wife's illness and, you know, how hard it was going through all this.
And he encouraged me. And we developed this relationship. And I mean, once a week, every 2 weeks, whenever I saw him, he was part of the body in this place that was ministering to me and helping me to become stronger. You know, it's just like working out. Sometimes you need help when you're working out. You got any guys in spotting for you, you know? And I kind of feel like he was doing that for me. He may not have realized what he was doing. I don't know if I ever told him. But God was doing a work of restoration in me. He was doing a healing in me. And love does stoop. Love that goes outward is worship. Love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. And love that stoops is grace. I'm going to give you a little illustration. Just yesterday, my wife was, I think it was yesterday, I heard her in the other room. I was in the bathroom, and I don't know, I was getting ready for a shower or something. And I heard this, "Oh, no." And I go, "Oh, no, I don't want to know what that means." You know, so I kind of turned the fan on, like, I don't want to hear it. I won't hear what "oh no" means, you know. And she, "Oh no," and I still heard it. And I go, "Oh no." I shut the fan off, and I'm thinking, I didn't even want to ask. I waited long enough. She said something. She goes, "Oh no." We got two cats, right? She goes, "Lucy puked." I went, "Oh no." And I thought, well, I got something to do here. You know, I can either act like I don't know what's going on, because I still haven't responded to her. But I know, you know, her knee is a little sore, kind of went out, and I go, "Man, I got to help out." So I walked out there, and love stoops. I stooped down there and cleaned it up. You know, God's doing that for us all the time. You know, when things become a mess in life, and he scoops down and picks us up, cleans us off, you know. Love stoops. It's amazing grace. You know, I don't know if I brought it up already or not, but the Apostle Paul said, "I become all things to all people." You know, and that's kind of what I'm doing today. That's what you do during the day. You take your hat of authority off. You put on your windbreaker to go outside and do what you're going to. You have the opportunity to become whatever your environment is to go into to reach the lost. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You have an opportunity every single day to reach out to someone that's hurting, no matter what coat you're wearing, no matter what hat you're wearing. God is at work in you to reach the lost around you. He is. And we need to look at others through the eyes of faith and realize. And Paul said that, "I know no man after the flesh," in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. And what he meant by that is he doesn't look, and he doesn't want us to look at other people and see their faults and their failures. He wants us to look at people through the eyes of faith and see what their strengths are, see what their God-given gifts are that maybe they don't even know yet, but you can see because you're on the outside looking in. You know, Carrie saw things. I mean, 45 years we've been married, 16. She saw something in me. I don't know what it was, but God gave her the ability. I mean, I know what I saw in her. She was beautiful. But you know what? When she looked at me, I wonder, what is it? I mean, I don't get it. I felt like I was out of my league when I met her. I thought, I met her in a bowling alley. That's why I came here. It's a nostalgia thing, you know? A guy told me about this new church. So I came down here just to see what it was all about. When she walked into that bowling alley door, I went, oh. Yeah. I was like, she's just too pretty for me. And so, I was real shy anyways. But I was really shy then. I mean, I couldn't say nothing. And I didn't say anything. I just kind of, I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, she came back the next day. I mean, you got to understand, it's a town of 600-700 people, sawmill town. Not much to do, but there was a bowling alley. So everybody kind of gathered there after school. She came back the next day. Man, it was like, I can't let this go. And I didn't. I don't remember exactly what I did, but I remember we ended up leaning up against a pool table talking to each other. I said, hi. I mean, that's a courageous thing to do, right? Howdy. Howdy. Yeah. And the next thing I know, man, I'm looking in her eyes, and I can tell she's going to be by my side forever. It's a God thing. And I didn't even know Jesus yet. But I knew this is mine. I'm in love, man. The next thing I know, we're walking together down Main Street, Rio Del, California. Population 600. Salute, you know, oh, hee-haw. And we've been together ever since. She grabbed a hold of my hand. I grabbed a hold of hers. And it was a covenant that was established, you know? So people see things in you. You have a lot to offer the world around you. And I want you to understand that. And one more quick illustration before I go. I am now going to take this code of friendship off of being your friend. I got one more. I don't really have anything to go along with it, but I got one more code. And this is because of the wife of my youth. As we traveled through Walmart yesterday, it just shows you can be all things to all men. You can. And so I am going to attempt to be all things to you today to show you that it's possible. Kind of cool, huh? Wish you had one. Bon Marché, my wife and I call it. Place they have high-end clothing. I walked by this yesterday, or day before, and Carrie looked at me, and I looked at her, and I looked back at the sign that said $5. I went, all right. I mean, I've never seen this guy. So I know you never have. I mean, I think there's a little Abe in all of us. I mean, there's a little character in all of us that wants to do something wild and crazy sometime. And Carrie goes, you know, that thing really looks good. It fits. And I said, yeah, it fits now, man. After 65 pounds, I can fit. That's because of my wife, man. She started feeding me different. So I'm actually skinny. May not look like it to you, but I'm skinny. This thing fits. So that's a miracle in and of itself. So we can be all things to all people. Do you realize the smiles I put on your face just now? I changed the atmosphere in this place by putting on a different coat. I don't know if you got, I love cats. I got two of the prettiest cats in the whole world. And when I saw this, I went,
I'm going to get that jacket. You know, I didn't think I'd have the guts to stand up here and put it on. But I did.
So guys, understand, wherever you're at, you might have to put on a different coat. You might have to be something different to reach the group of people where you're at or a particular person. You know, you might see someone sitting on a curb that's got nothing. How are you going to respond to him? Are you going to be able to put a coat on of grace and stoop down there if God asks you to and make a difference in that man's life? I mean, I see people on the street corners all the time. You know, the Bible says the poor you will have with you always. If I don't feel impressed to do something, I don't. And I don't feel bad about it. It's what's God saying to you? If God says, stoop down there and speak into that man's life or that woman's life, do it. That's your moment to shine for the kingdom of God. God wants you to be everything that he's created you to be. You can get down here close to Abe so he can get a good look at this. Because I got a feeling he might be going down to Walmart after church service. Huh? Nice, huh? Up close and personal. Kitty is forever. No. All of us here, the staff, pastors, leadership included, we love you all and appreciate you and all that you do for the church and all that you do out there for the world around you. So if you ever... you ever want something like this? Stop by Walmart once in a while. You never know. You never know. So I've got something here that I can add to my arsenal and maybe use it again sometime to put smiles on people's faces. You know, God loves you. And I want you to understand that last night I came down here at 10 o'clock and I sat right here. I sat right here and I looked all around and I saw you guys. I saw the people that aren't here. I saw hearts that God was going to talk to this morning and speak to. God wants you to know he loves you. There are so many of us in life, we've gone through hardships and heartaches, illnesses. This is a year of restoration. It is. God wants you to know he loves you. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. None. God wants to fulfill every desire in your heart. If you've been through something that's challenging, that's been pulling you down, that's been tearing you up, just like we had communion this morning, God is a healer. God is a restorer. God is on the inside of your house fixing things right now after communion. Do you know that? He wants you to be everything that he created you to be. Understand that. He cares about you more than anything. I saw last night, I saw broken hearts being mended. I saw lives being changed. Because God's word is true. So the things that I'm encouraging you about, apply them in your life. Look through the eyes of faith to other people. Amen? And I want to do one more thing. It's a day of doing new things. You guys like this, don't you? I can tell. Yeah. One more thing. I wrote a song, and I shared it Wednesday night. It's about the wife of my youth. Yes, they call me the guitar man with the kitty cat shirt. God is good. You know what? I forgot the song at home. Whoops. Maybe I'll remember it. I hadn't quite got it memorized yet. But understand, we are in a place to change people's lives by doing some simple things. You know, by taking something like this, you musicians, you're going into a retirement center, a hospital. Do you realize the comfort? You sensed the Spirit of God this morning, didn't you? Huh? You guys created that. The Spirit of God in you created that. You know what? Maybe I did remember that. Let me see. Let's see what this is called, lack of planning. But it's a day of new. There we go. There we go. Of course, this is a rough draft, man. Woo. Let me see if I can read this. This is a day of new beginnings. And what are you going to do today that's different? And you ever look at people through readers? Woo. What are you going to do today that's different to impact the world around you? You know, I know that chord. One chord at a time. This is a song about Carrie Colleen, the wife of my youth. Who means so much to me. I met a girl named Carrie Colleen that came into my life when I was 16. Sweet 16. I had no idea this beautiful girl would one day stand before me and say I do. But it happened. The moment I looked into her eyes, I could tell that she would be by my side forever. Yeah. I've been blessed beyond my dreams because I married Carrie Colleen. It's true. Yeah. Bum bada dee dee dee, I forgot the rest of the lines. It's true. She's my dream, she's my song. I can't help but think of her all day long. Yeah. Support. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep it going. Yeah, come on up. I mean, I'm playing in one chord. You make my heart scary. Bum ba da da dee da da da. If I can remember where I was. Now I've been blessed beyond my dreams because I married Carrie Colleen, it's true. She's my dream, she's my song. I can't help but think of her all day long. Home cooking, that's what she does. Better than a restaurant. Da-da-dee-dee-da. Bum-bum. You know, when I'm tired at the end of the day, I look at her and she inspires me with her smile. Yeah. So then I realize that all things work together for the good, just like God said it would. It's called hope. Through the Spirit of God in her, she has shown me how to love and trust others. Yeah. You know, you can't really write a and finish a love song because it never ends. It doesn't. God is good all the time. God is good. And thank you guys for your support. It's been great, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You know, maybe with a shirt like this, man, I might change my name to Hank. Hank Williams or Waylon. I don't know. But God loves you. We do too. And I mean, if there's anybody that needs prayer, man, please come up. Musicians are going to play some music, create this atmosphere. I'm going to get out of the way so I don't break the atmosphere with this thing. But if you need prayer, man, come up. If you don't want to come up, wave one of us down. We'll come over and pray where you're at. God is doing a work this year in the hearts of us so that we can reach the world out there around us. He's healing. He's providing your every need according to his word, that you may glorify him in all that you do. We really do love you, and we're proud of all of you. And if there's anything that we can ever do for you, you let us know. God bless you, and I'm going to move out of the way, let these guys sing some music, and you're special.